Can't pray in the Holy Ghost without the Holy Ghost. How many knows that? You can't be a Christian without having God inside of you. Amen. You know, a lot of folks have different titles and all kinds of things, and no telling how many movements and all these kinds of things, but there's only one church. That's the church of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He died. He established this church, and he appointed men to carry it out. And unless a person's called and anointed, they might as well forget it.
Amen.
The anointing and yoke is destroyed because of the anointing.
Yeah.
The anointing, and there's different things that affect the anointing. And you know, what affects the anointing more than anything is people. People that don't have the anointing. People that don't want the anointing. So we're going to get into a message. This will be the start. I'm hoping this and praying and believing this, that it's going to start off slow, and by about Wednesday night, it's going to be way up here, and you're going to be shouting the victory. How many? Somebody said, I've been a long time since I've shouted. It's your fault. Amen. Don't blame someone else. Somebody said that. Been a long time since I this and that. Well, that's your fault. And sometimes said, well, you know, it might be me. Well, it's my fault. God is no respecter of person. Everybody knows that. And a message, if it's from the master, it's a masterpiece. Everybody knows that. If it's not from the master, it's a mess. So we have the ability to either be a mess or a masterpiece. How many knows that? I want to just preach from a thought here tonight, getting started here, that godliness with contentment is great gain. And that's in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 6. Now here we go. And let's read the chapter here down to verse 6 and maybe just a little bit further. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor in the name of God, and his doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them, because they are brethren, but rather do them service, because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit and things teach and exhort. If any man teach otherwise, this doctrine here, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. Now I'm going to preach on godliness and contentment now. Godliness with contentment is great gain. I want you to get that. Godliness with it. We'll read that just in a minute. He is proud and knowing nothing and doting about questions and strifes of words whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, and evil surmisings. Of course, we don't have none of that anymore. Do we? Since we're Christians. Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. Now here's where the church has been for about 30 years now. They've got to the place that they think gain, the things they gain, their money, their automobiles, their homes, their bank account, they think that all this gain is godliness. But it's not godliness. Paul said, but godliness with contentment is great gain. So the church has been, preachers have been preaching this. All the TV preachers and all of them preaching this. You know, they want to get into your wallet. They want to get in this. Maybe there's a good one once in a while, but there are very few. And how many folks do you know that's content now? I know a lot of people that's not content. If you're not content, you're in trouble, because you cannot serve God like he's talking here. Perverse disputings, it says, corrupt minds, destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. One preacher, I heard him preaching on television, he said, I've got a Rolls Royce set in my yard, and he said, people know that I'm of God when they drive by because of my Rolls Royce. No, that's gain. That's gain, but it's not godliness. Paul said, here, let's read it again. They think that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. Now, it's the church. I want to tell you that you're part of the church. I wouldn't tell you a lie for anything in this world. I'm too far on my journey to get mixed up. And I've weathered the storm when many different things, doctrines and stuff come out that were false doctrines that destroyed families, that destroyed churches, that destroyed all kinds of things. I've weathered that and kept the truth, and I've got a large following in the state of Missouri that has kept that and received what I preached and has kept the truth. And now people's begin to turn around. You know, it's time to turn around. It's time to get to going in the right direction. It's time to lay aside every weight that so easily besets us and run the race with patience that's set before us. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 1 tells us that. And here he says but perverse disputings, and going on with this again, these folks that count gain godliness, from such withdraw thyself. But he said in verse 6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Now godliness, let's all say it, with. You put them together. With contentment is great gain. Now, godliness with contentment then is great gain. That's where the gain is. For we brought nothing into the world, and we certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and remnant, now listen to this, let us therewith be content. Be content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and snares, and into the many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, and while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Be thou, O man of God, flee from these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. So righteousness and godliness, we're talking about godliness with contentment is great gain. Now, I don't know very many people that's contented. There's something that's keeping them stirred up all the time. I just not contented. They're not contented with their job. They're not contented with their husband or their wife. They're not contented with the preacher, and the preacher's not contented with them. How many knows what contented means? That you're peaceful, that you're rest. Paul said, I've learned in Philippians chapter 4, he said, I have learned to be content in whatsoever state that I'm in. And he proved it. Throwed him in jail, him and Silas. You know what? They were so contented with all that around their neck and all that. They said, let's sing some praises unto the Lord. And they begin to sing and they begin to pray. And God shook the jailhouse and the jailer got saved. They had a great revival all night. And that's the only place I can find in the Bible where, or anywhere else where two men got thrown out of jail. They didn't even want them. They just throwed them out of jail. But they said, first, you come out and go out the back door. Paul said, no, we're going to march through the front door, and you throw us in here, and we're going to do this thing right. In other words, what he said, we're contented enough. You leave us here tonight. We are going to have another service tonight to make this and look little. Huh? Contented. People that's discontented. How many knows what the word discontented means? Now Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28, come unto me. People are going to everybody, everything, everywhere, all the time to try to get the answer. Jesus said, come to me. Come unto me, all ye that labor. You can read it if you want to, Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. Now, rest is contentment. If you don't believe it, we see last night, we drove to Wade in the night, you know, and I was tired and tired and tired, and we got into traffic where we come in from 81 Highway, and they just creeping along because they had wrecks ahead of us and all, and just went on nearly all day like that. And I'll tell you, I was very contented to feel the bed last night. I was contented. But see, people without contentment, we can't please God. Godliness. What about godliness? Godliness with contentment. Let's take godliness here just a minute. If you want to turn your Bible to Psalms 1, you can. Verse 1 through 3 said, blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, or standeth in the way of the sinner, or standeth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in the law of the Lord doth he meditate day and night. Then it goes on to tell what contentment will do. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, bringing forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So they've had the prosperity message backwards. I've proved it right here if you study it out. We prosper if we live godly. He said, blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, or stand in the way of the sinner, or sat in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is our delight in the law of the Lord. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in the law of the Lord doth he meditate how much? Day and night. He'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. He'll bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaf will not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. You can't keep it from prospering. It's gone. Godliness. With contentment is great gain. Now, what does discontentment get us? People are nervous wrecks anymore. They're so discontent, some of them, that they have to have a pill to get up and a pill to go to sleep. They're discontented with each other. They're discontented with everything. That's like the children of Israel was in the wilderness. They marched around the wilderness, they murmured, and they complained. They was discontented. But Joshua and Caleb said, the Lord is with us. Let's go on. But at 85, Caleb looked up to the mountain and he said, give me my mountain. And Joshua said, take it. It's all yours. You know why? Because Caleb and Joshua went through that wilderness with contentment. They had contentment in all that trouble, in all that mess, they had contentment. You know, the people as today are doing their best. They're a bundle of nerves, and they're striving to be calm, but they can't find the place where they can be calm at. Somebody said, if you tried this, you better believe I've tried this. You can be content in all kinds of situations, if we want to. But what we're going to have to do is seek God, and seek godliness, because it's godliness with contentment that is great gain. Godliness with contentment is great gain. It takes both of them. You can't be content without God, and you can't be godly without contentment. His people are contented. I don't know, some of you may be old enough to remember it, but I remember back years and years and years and years ago, and I can remember a long time, believe me, that the Borden Milk Company and Ice Cream Company decided they was going to see, and here's what I'm going to get at. The church is not producing anymore. Anything it's not producing is not continuing. How many souls have you won this year? How many people have you prayed through? How many sick folks have you visited? Are you producing? Well, this Borden Milk Company, they first had a drawing of a cow called Elsie. Elsie the cow. Now somebody said, where in the world are you coming from this? Well, later on in the story, as years went by, she earned the title of Elsie the Contented Cow. You know how she done that? They got this cow. You know, they had this cartoon out on it for a long time and had her own milk cans and everything. I don't know if you ever got it or not, but they had that out. And so there they are. They're there with this here cow. And the thoroughbred, and it's supposed to give a lot of milk, and it did give a lot of milk. So they decided that contentment might make her produce more. So the first thing they done, they gave her a great big nice space to be in, away from all the other cattle. Doesn't that sound like we ought to be away from all the problems that everybody's got? Get yourself to decide where you got the power. Huh? Get away from the problem. Be content. But they got her away from everything. They noticed that the milk percentage went up. So they decided, well, she was a contented cow. So they give her all the good food. How many believe we've got good? I hope you think you're getting some food tonight. If you don't, that would grieve my heart. So I've spent years in this Bible. Years and years and years and years bringing myself to a place I can be contented. When everything else is discontented, I can retain contentment. But they put this cow away from us. How important was that? How many knows that there was other field cattle, they fighting with each other, locking horns with each other? Does that sound familiar? Discontented. You're on my square. Get up. Discontented. So they brought this cow into this place where she was separate from all that. And the milk became another few percentage higher. And they thought, oh, what else can we do to make Elsie contented? That is a true story. You might be able to find it on the computer. Something my fellow did after I preached it. Found the story in the computer. This is a true story. So what they done, they got some real soft music and put in there with her. And this soft music was playing. And Elsie became more contented and gave more milk. Elsie became the champion cow of the world because of contentment. Part of it was music. I counsel you to go to all the stores and the banks and all the markets and every place else and what all the young people's listening to. Do you think that it brings contentment? They got to have something to make them jump. Squirm. Something that they think makes them content. Well, anybody do that long enough, they have to get some rest, and then they get a little bit contented. But I'm telling you that God wants the church that's contented. He wants us to pull away. Love not the world, neither the things that's in the world, for he that loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The God can't be in anybody that loves the world. Get away from it. Do like they done Elsie. And they finally, if the final thing was, and this is a real ringer, they decided that not let her sleep on the ground and things like that, so they got her a great big water bed. And Elsie just loved that water bed. They didn't know she wanted none or not, but she got right on that water bed every now and then when she laid down. She laid down on the water bed. You know what happened? Elsie's production raised up another 2%. And she holds the record milk giver today. You know, I think that some Christians needs to get into producing a little bit more and begin to hold some records. There's people sitting before me tonight. You've got the ability. You've got the power. You've got everything that you need. If you've got Christ, if you're filled with the Holy Ghost and you're filled with the power of God, you've got everything you need. You have everything. I have everything I need to make me happy. I don't need some of the world to make me happy anymore. There was a time years ago when I was in my 20s and 30s, early 30s, I remember there was a time when I thought I had to have the world to be happy, but I found out it was false. That now I have everything to make me happy. I have Jesus to show me the way.
Hallelujah.
I have the blessings of God upon me. And I have blessing of God upon many people that I minister to. And that's enough to make me happy. When I look at somebody that come out of sin and got saved under my ministry and filled with the Holy Ghost. Or when I look at somebody that got gloriously healed. That's contentment in my heart.
Hallelujah.
It's worth it all. It's worth it all. Now, what all does it make us? We've got to be content. What does discontentment do? It works on your mind. It's stress. It works on your nervous system. Therefore, it attacks your stomach. And all these things, discontentment. We think that eating more will help. See, our body gives off false alarm. False alarm. Eating will help you. No, it won't. Moderately. Everything moderately. And so Paul said, and let's go to Philippians here, chapter 4, verse 9. Paul said, those things which ye have heard and learned, he said. Now we have to learn to be content. Now, I'm going to prove it to you here in just a minute. How many knows there's some things we have to learn? We have to learn to walk with God regardless of what everybody else is doing. What did Jesus say in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 30? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. We've got to learn about him. And I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, and I will give you rest. If you just take his yoke, look up with him. Learn how to work with him. These things have to be learned. You don't just automatically get them. Somebody said, but I got saved. Yeah, but you got your just there. That gives you a point of learning. Somebody said, I got filled with the Holy Ghost. That's great. You got more power now. How many knows what's in the Holy Ghost? The kingdom of God, Romans 14:17 said that the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. How many folks do you know that? And anybody that's got the kingdom in them, righteousness, peace, and joy, they have to be contented to keep it. You'll lose it if you're not contented. You'll get aggravated with somebody, something, somewhere, somehow, and you'll lose. Your thought pattern will turn back to carnality and not be spiritual. But Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And the perfect will of God is for us to be godly and contented. That's God's will. Jesus died on the cross, ascended on high, prayed the Father, and the Father sent the Comforter. How many knows the Comforter's there to make you contented? Somebody said, I don't think I need the Holy Ghost. Everybody needs it. We just got to seek it till we get it. And then we're contented because we got righteousness, peace, and joy in there. How many can be discontented with righteousness, peace, and joy in your heart? You can't do it. So you either go one way or the other. Choose you this day whom you may serve. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Joshua 7:14, 2 Chronicles 7:14 said, if my people that are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways. Now he's talking about his people. And turn from their wicked ways. He said, then will I hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sin and will heal their land. So Philippians doesn't say this is an easy thing. Paul said, verse 10, Philippians chapter 4, verse 10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care hath flourished again. Hath care of me hath flourished again. Wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Now Paul says in verse 1, not that I speak in respect of want. They had cut off their giving to him. You know how many of those people, a lot of people just cut off their giving. That's the first thing you look in the books. When you find somebody's going away, the tithing drops off. Uh-oh, I'm in trouble now, ain't I? Huh? Paul said, not that I have said you've not been given like you ought to me, but he said, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 11. Now listen to what he said. Not that I speak of respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Amen. Now he said, wherever I'm at, whatever state I'm in, if I've got a big problem, I'll be content. If I'm hurting, I'll be content. If the world don't like me, I'll still be content. I'll not hurt nobody, but I'll still be content. Else, you know what contentment will bring? It'll bring what St. John 15 said, the bear more fruit. The production will, bear more fruit. Bear more fruit. Listen to what else Paul said here in verse 12. I know both how to be abased. Yeah, I mean, being abased is not too joyful. Correct. Abased. I know how to abound. He said, I can either be abased or abound. How many likes to abound? Well, everybody likes to abound. Well, what he's talking about here is abounding in godliness and contentment. I know how to be abound everywhere in all things. I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both abound and to suffer need. Now, when we come to that suffering at this point, all these folks are teaching and preaching that if you're a good Christian, you'll never have to suffer. You'll have all the money you want, and you never have to suffer. Well, what about Jesus? And he learned obedience by the things he suffered. Yeah. He learned, Jesus. And you think that we won't have to suffer? We've got our cup of tea. There'll come a time we'll suffer. I've suffered sometime, just recently. I had about a month or two of suffering, but I stand before you tonight victorious. Fact of the matter is, I went through a thing that they didn't know, think I was going to live 2 months ago, a little more. The doctors wouldn't say. They said, we'll just do the best that we can. Had a bunch of saints praying for me. One morning, just out of nowhere, I got up out of bed and at 5:30 and went in the living room and I sat down on a chair and I was sick in my stomach. I remember that. Pretty soon my wife saying I didn't go back to bed, come back to bed. And she went in there and began to talk to me. And I was trying to quote scriptures. That's what I do when I've got problems. I'll quote scriptures. You know, devil, he don't want to hear that.
Right.
But I was too far gone. I couldn't get him quoted right. And she seen that. She asked me another question and I answered her in numbers or something, and she knew right then there was something wrong. I had my clothes on, all but my shirt. She put the shirt on me and headed me to VA hospital in Poplar Bluff. When I got there, they didn't know what to do. They didn't know what it was. They knew it was bad. But they gave me a big, big overdose, big shot of antibiotics. One of them kind of hits everything, they said. Can't take them very much. Put me in an ambulance and headed me to St. Louis. You know what? I laid all the way in that ambulance going to St. Louis. And that ambulance driver hit every bump and every knock all the way up there. Them ambulances, let anybody tell you they're easy. That's the worst thing I ever rode in my life. Well, they pulled into St. Louis and they had a team of doctors waiting for me because they didn't know what it was or anything. You know, it was just something bad. My whole right leg was blood red and a streak running up to my groin. And I was a sick man. And one of the nurses, I heard her say, "You, Mr. Buckner, lay down there and be quiet. You're a very sick man." So I rode that up there and these doctors waiting there. People praying everywhere. I just laid there and took it easy. If I go, I go. If I don't go, I'm going to get up and whoop you again, devil. And here I am. Amen. I've preached several messages since then. I can't keep out of the pulpit. Listen, I can't keep out of the pulpit. So anyhow, they come in. The doctor come in the third day. And the head doctor, and he said, he was smiling. He said, "I got good news for you." He said, "You're going to make it. Going to make it." See, they hadn't told me that I had a chance not making it. But they told me, "You going to make it." My son, he got a hold of, went out, followed him out, and he said, "I don't know," said, "what this is." He said, "We don't know what it is, where it come from, or anything about it." But he said, "Somewhere, something got in his bloodstream," and he said, "He's got infection in the bloodstream," and he said, it was very dangerous. But he said, "I want to tell you something." He said, "Did you know your dad went through a situation that 50% of men half his age don't make it, much less his age?" So I count that a miracle. I count it a miracle. I don't know. You know, the devil, they'll all have you dead. No. How many knows somebody gets sick and everybody says, "Oh, it's really bad." Well, and this, you know, paint the office picture, that's called bedside manners. No. We're supposed to speak good things. That's godliness. How many knows that? God's people speak godly things. God's people speak the truth. You know the truth, Jesus said, and the truth shall make you free. John 14:6, he said, I'm the way, I'm the truth. No man comes to the Father but by me. I'll tell you, I'm following the truth. He's the way, he's the truth. He's our leadership to the Father. I'm heading for Father's house. How many's heading for Father's house? They'll be more contentment there when we get to heaven. You talk about a contented place, it's going to be something. But if you miss it, the very opposite will happen. Discontentment leads into things that are actually horrible. Did you know what's the matter with this whole world right now? The whole world is discontented.
That's right.
You give them the whole world, they're discontented. They don't know what they don't know what contentment is. They don't know what to do. So therefore, they go grab a gun or a knife and go out and kill a few people. You know why? Because they're discontented. You know why the divorce rate is where it is at today? It's because people are discontented. They have a little spat with each other instead of making love and making up. They get themselves more discontented and run out and get a divorce. Then they're more discontented. Some of them turn around in bars and everything. This whole world, the whole problem that we're facing here today is people don't have godliness with contentment. I know a few people that have godliness with contentment, but I don't know very many. And once in a while, I think somebody's going to make it with godliness and contentment, and they fool me. They backslide. All because they got discontented. My son, I've prayed for him for years, and he's getting back there again now, but I prayed for him for years. He's 56 years old, and he recently, about a year ago, went to church, and gloriously saved. I mean, he was just going around preaching to people. But then he got his eye on people, and when he got his eye on people and his ear to their voice, he decided that all churches are hypocrites. Well, I wasn't nothing I could do. He always comes to me with all these things, you know. I guess he don't think I'm a hypocrite, but that thing that got a hold of that discontent, he was really wanting to preach. But now he's went about a year or two, and so he got into this bad discontented thing, you know. This job wasn't going right, and this wasn't going right, and that wasn't going right. So the other day, days ago, he's turning around back, and he's beginning to see that everybody goes to church is not a Christian. I said, I tried to tell you that for 50 years. You've seen it and seen it, but don't you know something that's really, really content and godly? Oh, yeah, their sister, Sister Cook and her sister, she began to name off them. He said, yeah, there's a lot of them, ain't there? I said, yeah. I said, the devil tried to steal your contentment. I said, you get back in there. You hold on. And he's noticing the signs of the times. And he's coming to me now, and he said, Dad, I remember when you preached this, and I remember when you preached that, and I remember when you preached that. And I said, here a while back, I told him, I said, tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you one of them Bibles that I preached out of for all these years. I give it to him. He took it home and he seen where I'd underlined this and underlined that and noted this and noted that and something else. And he went through his whole Bible and put them places I underlined there. He had to be sincere to do that. How many has ever searched the Bible that much? When we're sitting around and doing nothing, how about a shot of godliness from the main medical book of the world? There's no book ever written and ever will be written that even compares to this book. It tells you how to live. It tells you how to die. It tells you everything to do. It tells you everything. This book right here, it's not a fake. It's a truth. Everything that's been prophesied in there is being fulfilled, and some of it right now before our eyes, and people are still asleep.
That's right.
Get a song ready, Sister Barbara. I want you to survey yourself tonight. I don't believe in browbeating people, and I'm not browbeating nobody. I'm trying to tell truth. that will help people. And if you don't know the truth, you'll never be free. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And then after we know the truth, we got to act upon the truth. And by the way, godliness, as Peter said, we had to add to the things that he said we must have. 2 Peter chapter 1 said, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us, so that's, the book is to them that's obtained like precious faith with us. And then verse 3, he said, according as his divine power, he has given unto us. That's us. How many of us? That's important. Who was us? Them that obtained like precious faith with us. And not just everybody, but them that's obtained. So it's 2 Peter, you can read that. Chapter 1, verse 3, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given to us, if you're really on par with God, if you're really God, that's us, you're bound to be us, given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. Now, to life, to what? To life and, let's say, godliness. And beside this, he said, give in all diligence. Add to your faith virtue. That's purity. And to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance. And to temperance, patience. And to patience, there it is again, godliness.